Welcome back to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, and I'm here with Angela Bachman today.
Always good to be here with you, and thank you to the Teamsters and Apple Tree Media Works for supporting the show. We appreciate it.
And joining us right now, we've got Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio. Buck, welcome back.
Great to be with you ladies on a nice fall day here in Michigan.
Yeah, I know.
Well, we're getting there.
Yeah, well, fall's a good time of the year, though. I mean, temperatures are a little lower. Gets rid of the bugs and, and football, of course.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, very good. I'm definitely looking forward to football and college football starting soon.
Unfortunate. Penn State's supposed to be pretty good this year.
Yeah, right? I know. As I say, they ranked us a little too high, I think. I don't think we're going to be able to live up to that one, but we're still better than Michigan. So.
Oh, really? We'll see about that.
We'll see about that.
Yes. So what's been going on? I'll ask you the question. What's been going on over there?
Lots of stuff. We've been talking about some interesting news things and labor-related things today. Of course, President Donald Trump and his whatever happened in Arizona this past week. Not sure what exactly to call that other than, a temper tantrum.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
That was scary.
Yeah.
I guess would be a term I would use.
It's concerning.
Yeah.
For many reasons.
It's like, he, and then to say, and then I guess even the more scary part was the next day when he gave the speech to the VFW, where it was all about unifying and how nobody else wants to come together. That's basically, a sick individual.
Yeah, it's just the whole thing, the way that he was at one point kind of preaching about how Fox News was so great and they do such a good job and how literally all other news is just bad. Like, we don't report right, we're fake news, we lie, we're inaccurate, we're this, we're that. And it's concerning. It's concerning because of a lot of people are unfortunately feeding into this, and we have to try to, first of all, it makes our job harder to discuss what's actually happening and the truthfulness behind facts and legitimacy.
Right.
And that makes an extra hurdle that we have to get ourselves over when we're trying to reach out and talk to people who might not necessarily agree or see things the way that we do. Because everybody has a right to their opinion and everything, and I agree with that. Because I have opinions just as they do.
Right, but your opinion should be your own personal analysis of the facts and your decision on what those then mean for you. Not, my opinion is that the sky is yellow.
And then throw the facts out the door.
Right. That's not how that works.
Well, you're watching in real time, something that, without risk of being sounding somewhat off base here, your generation is witnessing something that no one ever has witnessed before. I mean, you can look back at history and you can talk to all the history people you want and all the historians and everything. There has never been any, shall we say, presidency like this. It just never has in any certain terms. You look at 7-8 months into the term and there has basically zero really legislation passed that means something, other than executive orders and, things like that. And that's unheard of. And what happens is that the country is basically really, really going to suffer because by now, usually presidents, because, one of the first things that they usually do is they usually set some sort of guideline for infrastructure. Because, number one, it takes so long to get it. Number two, it takes a long time to get it started. And here we're already behind the eight ball, so there will be a chance. I mean, the country could head into a dire straits in a short period of time because as obviously we know that if the more people are working, the more taxes they pay, the better everything runs. And that's the fear here, is that this guy will basically just destroy everything. And you look at him, you know, now he's just basically blaming everybody except himself. So it's kind of nice to see some of the Republicans starting to speak up, you know. But I still think it's not enough and maybe a little bit too late.
Well, I definitely agree that it's both not enough and a little bit too late. But at the same time, I kind of feel like they've started this freight train, and if anything, they need to be the ones to try and help us stop it.
Right.
Totally.
Right, right. But, you know, they don't want to take responsibility for it either.
No. Nobody does. It's not their monkey, apparently.
Yeah.
This is a giant circus, and we've lost control of the animals.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and I think the reason why I think that everything is, Trump is moving so fast because, you know, he knows that, you know, all the investigations are, you know, they're moving around rather quickly, a lot quicker than most people thought. And, you know, you look at the investigation itself into perhaps the Russian thing, you know, this Mueller, he's got like 60 lawyers, and, you know, I mean, it's like I heard somebody mention that it was almost like a mini Department of Justice. And, you know, that's what really, I think, is driving Trump over the edge is because, you know, I heard a guy talk last night, I can't remember his name, but I just caught a piece of the news, and he talked about how when you have someone like Trump who has done something, and he knows or she knows that they've done it, you know what I mean? They're the ones that they live with that. And as we go forward, as the rest of us, we don't know that, but they know what they've done. And they know what in the end will come out. And they know also that their thought was how they were not going to get caught isn't working. So the closer it comes to having a report, the more he's going to lash out. And that's what we have to be careful about.
This whole thing is just, I don't even know. Honestly, it's just, I am completely just overwhelmed when I look at the media and I try and figure out what is actually happening in the world around me. Because there's so many things that are being said. There's so many fingers being pointed, so many accusations. And every day I feel like there's some sort of new thing that pops up of like breaking news. Like we just found another document or something. And it's just, mm-hmm. I don't even know where to begin or how to keep track of it at this point. My head spins.
Yeah. But then again, there's also this element of like, everything is breaking news.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and it's not.
You ladies are talking. It's news.
Right, exactly. Well, it's happening right now, so therefore it must be news. I don't think CNN has taken the breaking news banner off of their broadcast in like a year and a half.
Well, and you know, we laugh at these things, but they're rather serious. Obviously, I always said a long time ago, you know, that you have to laugh, or otherwise you'd spend all your life crying.
Yeah.
Something that, speaking of breaking news, I'm going to kind of bring this up because this is something interesting that Nathan found earlier this week, and it's a very good thing. It's kind of they call it the Breaking News Consumer's Handbook, and it's a website on themedia.org kind of came up with this. And I think it's a very valid thing that people see breaking news, and then it's like pandemonium. You don't know what's happening. You don't know what's true, what's not. And it changes 20 times by the time you get to the actual story. It's nice to know that this is happening, and it's breaking news that, like, it's going on, but at the same time, some of that information is so inaccurate and starts so many rumors that start running. One of the first things you need to do, they have a checklist here of 9 things to do on how to consume properly, you know, your breaking news.
Okay.
And the first of it is, in the immediate aftermath, news outlets will get it wrong, which is true.
Yeah.
You have to wait for the facts to come out and give them a minute to kind of like consume this. Don't trust anonymous sources. Don't trust stories that cite other news outlets as the source of the information.
That's a good one.
There's always a second shooter, because of that is always what you hear on the breaking news. Pay attention to the language that the media uses, such as "we are getting reports," which could kind of mean anything.
Right.
"We are seeking confirmation," which kind of means they don't have it. And then what a quote-unquote news outlet has learned means that there's a scoop going on, but they're kind of going on a limb and nobody really totally knows yet.
Yeah.
Which is valid things.
That's really good stuff.
Because, I mean, when you see breaking news come across the screen, such as CNN, because of we have it usually on in the background here, and you just see the breaking news rolling through all day, and you're like, oh my God, this is happening. Oh my God, this is happening. But at the same time, it's kind of like you're on this quick, like they gave you two lines and that's it, and they're like, breaking news, and then you just see the same clip over and over and over again, but there's really no information. And then you start hearing other news outlets going, oh, this is happening. Such and such has cited this. Such and such has cited this. But you never quite know. And then 9 times out of 10, it ends up being wrong.
Yeah. You know, and you should, you know, one thing you should listen to is to kind of compare your news side by side. For example, you know, I'll give an example. You could have one news outlet to say, hey, there's a sinkhole opening up in Florida. The authorities are on top of it, and they're, just to be precautionary, they're asking people to perhaps in certain neighborhoods or certain blocks to perhaps think about, you know, being aware of it. And then you can listen to Fox News on the same story, and they'll say, giant sinkhole opens up in Florida, mass exodus evacuations are taking place, and there's the difference.
Right.
The scare tactic. So, and they do it with politics, they do it with even, like I said, just plain news. So those are the things you have to kind of separate.
Yeah, I think at this point, moving forward, we're really going to have to consciously separate out the fact of what's actually happening around us versus the embellished version of a news story, and just really look at it like, okay, is this real? Yeah. Like, how embellished is it? Like, on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
But that being said, we've got to take a quick break, but we will be back because I just looked at the clock. That was Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman, and you've been listening to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
The U.S. Department of Energy has released its study of the electric grid's reliability, but some environmental groups claim it isn't worth the paper it's printed on. The study concludes that cheap natural gas is the main reason for the declines of coal and nuclear power. But according to Kim Smazniak with the environmental law firm Earth Justice, the final version of the report waters down key conclusions about the role of environmental regulations seen in an earlier draft, and it adds recommendations to ease permits for coal power plants and safety requirements for nuclear power, and change how customers pay for power from older, less efficient plants.
Those are the findings that we see in the study that really aren't backed up, and they're findings that we didn't see in the original version.
The coal and nuclear energy industries say the report confirms that the power they generate is critical to maintaining a reliable and resilient electric grid. But Smazniak points out what she calls a glaring omission. The report mentions extreme weather, but leaves out any mention of climate change.
You can't really talk about the long-term reliability and resiliency of the grid without taking into account that the climate is changing and that we really need to have responses that are putting on more and more clean energy.
She adds that ignoring climate change will make the electric grid more vulnerable to the next superstorm Sandy that left millions without electricity. When Energy Secretary Rick Perry called for the study in April, environmental groups feared it would ignore science and recommend bailouts of the coal and nuclear industries. Smazniak notes that the final version falls short of that.
Instead, they've found a lot of ways to try to move towards a more subtle shift that would compensate some of this base load in ways that's just not warranted.
She adds that many states have taken their own lead in developing and implementing clean energy plans to provide power that is reliable and affordable. For Connecticut News Service, I'm Andrea Sears.
The International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 66, works with builders and contractors to build a better community. Local 66's tradesmen and women have received the specialty training needed to meet the complex challenges of any project, making them the most capable workforce in the region. From schools, highways, and pipeline projects to casinos and arenas, the operating engineers build any job, large or small. For over 100 years, Local 66 has provided superior service that our community can count on. They are your one-stop resource for qualified and productive operating engineers and heavy equipment mechanics. To learn more about the benefits of organized labor and more information about the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 66, go to www.iuoe66.org. That's www.iuoe66.org.
Hey everyone, let's all stop what we're doing and take a moment. You see? Every moment can be kind of special. But they could be loud moments, goofy moments, dorky moments. It doesn't matter. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org, brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, and I'm here with Angela Bachman today.
Always great to be here with you, Brittany, and thank you to the UFCW and United Steelworkers for supporting the show. We appreciate it.
And joining us back right now, we've got Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio. Buck, welcome back.
It's great to be with you, ladies. It's always a pleasure.
Great to have you, Buck. So something else that we wanted to talk about, which also falls in the line of interesting news. This is a little more labor-oriented, and it's a little bit more about what we were talking about earlier with Doug Cunningham of Workers Independent News. So just to fill you in on this, Buck, this has been a very interesting story. It is with some workers from a Target in Christiansburg, Virginia. And at this store, the general manager was sexually harassing workers and making racist comments to them. While one of the striking workers was just kind of like, you know what, we've had it, that's it. We deserve better than this. We're not going to stand for this anymore. This is not okay to be treated this way. So what they got, they got together and made a like a workers' council, worker group kind of thing. And what they did was they informed the, they got like labor to come out behind them. They did a strike. They've informed the public. The UFCW came out behind them. The AFL-CIO came out with them. The UAW came out with them on their picket line. Labor is standing up and working with them. And they are in affiliation with the New River Workers Power, which is an independent worker group. It kind of heard the testimonials of some of these workers who have suffered from this alleged sexual harassment and these, this racial discrimination. And the workers committee decided to take action and try to force Butler out so that the workers wouldn't have to put up with this harassment in the workplace.
You know, that's just like we were talking about last week, is these workers, it's what we call modernizing the labor movement.
Yep.
And, you know, and that's very important, and that's very pleasing to hear, because, and it's, what's great about it is you mentioned all the locals that are behind them, and not demanding their attention or membership in their organization, basically just to assist them in their rights to be treated fairly. And that's what I think we need to have more of. And that way, you know, basically it is, when you look at these work councils, they are the organization. You know, they don't have to, you know, go through all the, you know, the sometimes roadblocks that smaller organizations has, and it still can be a union movement. It's just a different way of doing it, and it works. It works in Europe. It works in other places, and there's no reason that it won't work around here. And and we should be all pleased to and to do whatever we can to support those people.
I definitely agree. And what I like about this is the fact that this is, as we discussed before, one of those not normal, typical settings for a union group to form or a union to organize. This is a group where they you know, they had an issue in the workplace. They got together and they sought out a group that could essentially help them. And basically it's someone who has some experience in guiding them through the process of like, well, what do we do? How do we handle this? Things like that.
Right.
But they were able to air their grievances, essentially. And the community came out behind them and stood with them, especially labor, which was cool because of some of these people don't necessarily know how labor works, don't necessarily come from a union family. So that's the nice thing that because of the individual that Doug Cunningham had interviewed had said that he was just in awe and like really surprised that all the labor groups came out and backed them and came out to their picket line to support them.
And that's the way. That's what should continue on. And it can be a Target store. It could be a 7-Eleven. It could be, you know, anywhere. And it's just as long as there's people sitting together and basically in their own way, negotiation of wages and benefits and things like that. It's the union movement to the T. I mean, that's really how it got started many years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't a big group basically all of a sudden. It was just a few people basically that started and said, we've had enough. We've had enough of working 70 hours a week, and we've had enough of, not making 10 cents an hour. So it's really great news, and I think that, like I said, it's a proven way things work. Like I said, in Germany they use it all over Europe, and it seems to work fine, and it's what I call the new movement.
Well, I definitely am excited to see that this is moving forward, and these guys, made some definite progress. Apparently, it has gotten the attention of the Target, like the national headquarters, right, because they are apparently investigating this general manager, yeah, and looking into just what has been going on and what has been happening, which is fantastic news for these workers, not only just because this is a victory, right, in labor's eyes, but also the fact that they had a serious issue, because nobody wants to work in a workplace where they're being discriminated against, or, right, where they're being sexually harassed. I mean, just as a person, that's demeaning, and that's not okay.
And, you bring up a valid point here, and it's not somebody. It's not somebody like me or some other a union rep knocking on their door. It's their actual workers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that takes away a lot of the animosity right away. Like you said, the big kahuna from Target, paying attention to it and wanting to rectify it. That's all we want as workers.
Mm-hmm.
We want a fair shot, and we want to make a decent living, and we want to be treated good. And like I said, it's headed down the right path, and like I said, I'm really pleased to hear that. Hopefully,
yeah,
we'll have many more stories like that in the future.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I was really excited to hear about this, just because we had just been talking about this last week, and this is exactly what we were talking about, case in point, about getting together with these workers' groups and how the power of just a few can make a big difference.
Exactly.
So it's nice to hear that they had a good story, and we're definitely going to keep following that here at the Union Edge.
That's right.
But that being said, Buck, we are almost out of time. We've got about a minute or so left. Mm-hmm. I know you've got a very interesting new guest coming on at 2:30 with you.
Yeah, I do. I have Dr. Rob Davidson. Dr. Davidson is a emergency doctor at a small rural hospital here in Fremont, Michigan, and he's running for U.S. Congress. And he has an interesting story what got him involved. Obviously, he has some stories about health care and his positions on that. But he's a very articulate person. He's a well-respected doctor, and hopefully he'll be our next congressman, and he'll be on at 2:30 to tell us a little bit about himself and how he sees the world.
That sounds great.
I think we need more of that. That sounds great.
That's right.
Looking forward to it. Okay, Buck, well, we will talk to you again then at 2:30. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for having me.
All right, guys, that was Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, and you're listening to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.